Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
No, not this rack. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
All right, hour number two. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the Fan, or you're one of the YouTube party people who, YouTube, I haven't checked this chat. Apparently, the chat is something today.
It
must
goes
be,
Blazers.
Must be a Monday.
It's a big Blazers chat in there today.
A big Blazers chat in there today. We'll talk some Blazers coming up. I'm not sure.
They technically played basketball. Yes, technically.
Yeah.
There was basketball played.
They're basketballing.
We'll see if Jeff Rush still thinks that they're winning too much.
Ooh, that's a tease for later. Nope, don't want to hear it now, Jeff. We've got other things that we've
only had it in my update, but you know.
I want to get your thoughts on that later. I want to start out number two with something that we're seeing, and Jake Dickert talked about it in his comments on John Mateer, his star quarterback and the number one quarterback in the portal right now, entering the transfer portal. He said that the timing of everything is just so off in the world of college football. And he is so right. You know, whether it is like what we talked about, signing day for high school kids being the week of conference championship games, that's lunacy.
I mean, we brought on Andrew Namek literally in the middle of prepping for Big Ten championship week. Like, it was just, it doesn't, like, what is the culmination of your regular season is happening at the culmination of the biggest day for your recruiting cycle.
And so coaches have to worry about, all right, we're trying to get a first round bye in the college football playoff. We're trying to build our roster for the future as well. And we have to do this at the same time. You want to talk about, you know, Ron Swanson told Leslie Knope one time on the great show Parks and Rec, you know, don't half-ass two things when you can full-ass one, right? And they're literally asking their coaches to do just that.
I never realized I stole that from him.
Now you have, in the college football playoff teams, you got Bo Prabula from Penn State, he has entered the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. Penn State will not have their backup quarterback, who they play situationally during the college football playoff run. Because Perbula is put in a place that Drew Allers comes out and says today, I'm coming back for 2025. Didn't know he was going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, where were you going to go, dude?
Apparently the NFL.
West Virginia?
But Drew Aller comes out, I'm returning, I'm coming back, and Perbula's like, well, I got to go find somewhere that I'm going to play because I have to have my best interests in mind, too, because the transfer portal is open leading up to the college football playoff. Penn State plays a game on Saturday in the college football playoff where it's snowing.
Mm.
Yes. Yes.
Love yes.
But he's not going to be in the lineup. He won't be there.
What was an interesting one is,
God forbid something happens to Drew Aller and they need a backup quarterback.
Did you know with Cam Ward's NIL deal, his NIL deal required him to play in the bowl game?
Well, okay. And that is, that, and there's a lot of people like, well, that's pay for play. No, it's your name, image, and likeness being
tied to.
Well, it's being promoted by a bowl game.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that makes sense. And that's, I guarantee that's why you're going to see all the Colorado players playing in that game too.
Because the branding behind it matters to the people that are paying you that money.
Yeah, because
it's a national game.
And more people watch bowl games because there's nothing on TV. Yeah. So,
but it's
as much as we make fun of them, people still watch
as
them.
As much as like we hear about the people opting out of bowl games, the NIL tie could actually be a thing that keeps them in bowl games. Now you're going to get some ones that are opting out for the NFL.
Yep.
Those ones, I think those you're looking at that and you're going, I don't care. I'm going to the NFL. Like we're the running back for Michigan. Was it Edwards?
Loveland did it.
He's opted
out, tied in. Yeah.
But so is the running back.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are, I mean, Loveland's going to be probably the second tight end off the board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
So, maybe third.
Yeah.
But like dude from Bowling Green is ridiculous too. So you got Tyler Warren.
Yeah.
You got Loveland, and then you have the Bowling Green.
That big monster. But again, like they're going to get good money.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Yeah.
But I say NIL is actually a good thing?
It is good.
In that respect, on top of it?
100%.
Like it's good for the players. Like I am not anti NIL for anybody who has that understanding at all. I am pro NIL. Pay the guys. They deserve the money.
Pay the man his monies.
But also, like, this might actually be an added benefit of keeping most rosters together through the bowl season. You and I have talked about this a ton off air. Your proposition is to close up windows and move things around to where they make significantly more sense for schools and programs. Mm-hmm. And in a roundabout way for players, because the idea that you're supposed to be doing this while teams are also shuffling and preparing for bowl games and trying to figure out who's leaving, who's going, it's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, let's move the window till after bowl season.
Well, this is what should happen. They should have a signing period before fall camp starts. So kids that want to sign know where they want to go and they are locked in. They can go through their senior year and they're locked in, done. I'm out. That's a very small portion of those guys.
But there are a lot of them that
coaches are like, cool, we got him, we're locked in, we got a guy. Your signing period for high school kids should have been last week.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been last week. And if Army-Navy, if there's anybody like, well, what about Army-Navy? They're preparing for the most important game of their season. The kids that they recruit are not the same.
Yeah, they're not the same. They're going there.
Yeah.
Because, again,
no.
Let's go back to Army Navy real quick. Do you know what the acceptance rate is at those academies?
Very little.
It's 10%.
Yeah. That seems high.
Okay, that's 10%, but that's 10% of people who get a letter of recommendation from a sitting senator.
Yeah.
So it's a very small number.
So you have they shouldn't be in this equation, but you put it after conference championship weekend. Then the portal opens after the bowl season is over. There is no open portal until the end of bowl season. Okay? That should be a no-brainer in the world of college football.
If you're going to do the Bear Alexander and redshirt and take your time, You can wait the other couple weeks until the end of bowl season.
Then you open up another portal at the end of spring football.
Yeah.
So once spring football is open, you have about a 30-day window where portal is open again. Those should be the only two times a portal is ever open in college football.
I like it.
I mean, you get a 30-day window. After the season is over, you can put your name in, you can go, and then you have a 30-day window after spring ball is over. And because for a lot of these guys, after spring ball,
you know,
you get a sense of what the pecking order is, and you have guys that got to make hard decisions. After that, that should be your only two portal opportunities, and they should not hinder your current situation.
No.
Because this is the, like, in the Bo Prabula situation, like, he's looking out for his best interest because he has to enter the portal now for all of the teams that are not in the college football playoff that are looking for a quarterback. And he wants to have his first pick of places that he wants to go, because so his hand is kind of forced into doing this.
Because he's looking for the NIL opportunities. He's looking for the starting job opportunity. And
he's looking for a good situation.
All of those things that you're looking for. And if you wait, teams are looking to fill very quickly because of all of the things that we just outlined.
I mean, it was a surprising one. We saw Marion Winston enter the transfer portal from Oregon. Like, they're in a college football playoff run. Marion Winston, he played an incredible game against Ohio State. He has been such a big piece of what Oregon has done defensively this year. But he's got to make his decisions, too, and sometimes, you know, the schools are making the tough decisions and they're having to make them right now, you know, and they have those conversations with their players during bye weeks and as the season goes on of how they're feeling, where they're at, where their head's at and all that stuff. The portal is completely screwed up. It is good for college football players to have the ability for movement. I do believe that. But the way the calendar is set up is so broken and they need to fix it quickly.
And here's the thing. I don't think either the players, the administrators, or the coaches like it the way that it currently is.
No.
So why, this shouldn't be something, when you're talking about like whether or not it's equitable to do something one way or the other, I think everyone would agree that the general proposition of what we have here is good for everyone.
Yeah. The people in charge of college football just need to shut up and fix an easy problem to fix.
Because you don't need Charlie Baker and the NCAA to come do this for you. You have the coaches and you have you got to be careful with this because they don't want the players union to happen. But you have the players, like, you reach out to the players and be like, guys,
yep,
do you want this? Because we can all come together and we can just agree to this.
Ugh,
like,
man,
we can make this happen. As long as everybody gets in on this. The problem is, then you get to what Boise State's head coach was talking about with the illegal pilfering of his players.
I mean, I think that we heard that from Trent Bray, too, at Oregon State, where he said, you know, teams have been contacting our guys
I don't think they're whining.
No, they're just stating,
like, hey, guys,
truth.
I think
it really is. It's harder to prove, too, because it's
agents.
Remember, collectives aren't parts of the university, mm-hmm, and agents are not the player themselves, and players have agents. Schools have collectives. It's a messy web that they've created, but you can really solve a pretty easy problem by making your calendar make sense. All right. All right. Let's talk about, you mentioned it, the Blazers basketballed.
They did.
They basketballed.
Mm.
No 40-point losses.
No.
Like, at all. I mean, too competitive
and mildly competitive losses.
That's what we want to see. Danny Dusty on the Fan. All right, before we get to the Blazers, we did have a texter saying that one thing that the NCAA does say is they say the portal is open now so they have time to register for all their classes. That is a cop-out that the NCAA needs to remedy very quickly.
Yeah.
And that is the reason.
We're still trying to pretend it's about academics.
Well, that's the reason that they do use, because fall terms end and then you need to get into whether. But here's the other thing. It's a cop-out because you have schools that are on the semesters, schools that are on trimesters. Transferring is an S show anyways, and they all end at different times.
Well, in between
school starts at different times.
Between semesters and quarters, it's like a full month difference.
Yes. And what is going to make this an easy fix, the Alston case, when it gets finalized in April, It is essentially going to make athletes employees, right? And when that happens, that will make it a lot of, it'll clear up a lot of the hurdles of the calendar. They just need to figure this thing out because it's a mess right now. All right, the hometown team, the Portland Trailblazers, Friday and yesterday had a pair of games after a long layoff. 2-point loss to the Spurs, 118-116. Bob on the YouTube chat said, just don't come on here and say that was a good loss on Friday. That was a brutal. And that one was on the coach, in my opinion, as he made some terrible decisions in the fourth quarter of that one. I will not make you happy, Bob. Good loss.
I mean,
I think those coaching ones, you don't want to win it.
Yeah, no.
I'm okay with it.
It's the holistic, air quotes, good loss. But
yeah.
No, I mean, there's a couple different ways to slice this. And this is the same thing. I mentioned this in the postgame. The same thing I said about Terry, I'll say about Chauncey. The Blazers have that 46-point third quarter. One of the best quarters, frankly, they've had in franchise history. They go absolutely bonkers. Jeremy Grant goes for 22.
That was fun to see.
You know,
in the third quarter, too? Yeah. Blazers being good in the third quarter?
Crazy.
What?
Denny Avdija has 11 in the quarter, goes 5-of-5. Like, a million good things are happening, right? They go from being down 10 to up. And I'll say this, like I said, I'd say it for Terry, I'll say it for Chauncey, I'll say it for every coach. Does he get the credit for getting that there, or does he get the blame for blowing it down the stretch? Because it's both.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody ever wants to do the former. They always want to do the latter. You know, nobody wants to talk about, you know, getting the credit for building up a lead. They want to, you know, give the blame for losing it. And it was a bad loss because they were up 17.
Bad loss.
I don't think you can point to the micro stuff of, like, did Chauncey challenging the call on Jeremy, was that a bad call? Yes. Yes. But you know what you also could have done in between there? A million different things. Hit a shot down the stretch, for the love of God.
Yeah, I was going to say, a team that doesn't make shots at all.
I mean,
we've gone over this so many times. They're one of the worst two-point shooting teams in the entire NBA.
And the other part of this is, and I will say this on every single night, sometimes you can just give credit to an opponent. Wemby was great.
No, I don't want to do that.
Devin Vassell was great. Julian Champagne was great in the fourth quarter.
I'm not used to saying that Victor Wembanyama was great.
Right. But you can also say that Chauncey did absolutely get that wrong. Because there was a 0% chance he was going to get that. That call was not getting overturned. It was a dumb call. It's a call that doesn't get made.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very ticky-tack call that you don't normally see made at that point during the game. But the second it's made, you just got to send it. You just deal with it. And, you know, Vic hits the free throws. They would have tied it or gone up two. I can't remember what that was on Friday night. But competitive in the game. They go from being down 10 to being up 17 to 27-point swing, which if you can get a 27-point swing, so can your opponent.
Yeah.
That's like the modern NBA.
Game of runs, baby.
That's just kind of what this is. It doesn't dismiss anything or uplift anything. It's just that's kind of what it is. Like, but would you like to get a win there? Because you're now, after Sunday's game, you lose to the Suns. You've now lost six straight. Like, yeah. This is what we talk about. Like, do you want to be the team like the Wizards who loses 16 in a row? Which the Blazers play the Nuggets and the Mavs of the next two games. You think they're winning those games? Probably not. I mean, the Nuggets aren't very good, but also they're better than the Blazers.
Mm.
But, I mean, this is where I was like, just chill on the are the Blazers winning too many games stuff. They are 8-18. Remember we talked about, like, I think through their first 30 games, they're going to win 7 or 8 games. If they lose their next two games, Dusty.
Yep.
They're 8-20, and you're right there. You're right. Even though they won those early games, they're still right on pace for kind of what everybody expected. Because they had a couple things go their way. They've now had a couple things maybe not go their way, and they're probably balanced out with where we expect things to be.
I will say that this team is like, they've had a couple of the inexcusable losses, right? We've talked about
yes.
Overall, though, what we've seen is a team that is far more competitive, and I think that's what we saw in the last two games. And then yesterday against the Suns.
They just get out-talented.
Yeah, and that is going to happen. I mean, and this goes to, if you have problems with Chauncey Billups as the coach, look, I'm okay with the folks that want to sit there and say, coaching is a problem, coaching is an issue. I will also come to bat for Chauncey Billups and say, when you have a talent deficiency, that is an issue. What we are seeing is we're seeing players improve, with the exception of maybe Scoot in the development that we have not seen from him. We've seen a lot of growth from a lot of young players, and guys are still playing hard. They're just not going to win a lot of games because they're just not very good.
No, I mean...
And if you want to put a little bit of that coach, like on Friday night, sure, go ahead. But you won't find a coach in the NBA that doesn't have some of those games. Even the best coaches in the NBA has games where their fan base comes at them and says, that was a stupid decision.
I mean, what were you Spo doing? And Kerr have both had like full-on meltdowns.
And that doesn't mean that Chauncey Billups is Spo or Kerr.
No.
But you know what it means? They all have them.
Yeah.
This team has a talent deficiency. So when you have a coaching decision that goes the wrong way, it is amplified.
Yes.
And
look, Chauncey Billups has not been great on challenging calls.
No.
It's just not.
Turns out not a lot of coaches are.
No, very, very, very few are.
Yeah.
The ones who do get it right, man, they do it really well, though.
Yeah.
Like, they do.
All right.
Quinn Snyder's a guy that does that.
That's a weekend I'm not going to be discouraged about, though.
No.
Lose by two, then lose by five?
Yeah, they closed it up. It was
or six, seven?
The margin was seven. Tighter than the actual game was because the Blazers hit a couple threes to close the gap and make a kind of a fake run.
But you know what? That's fine. That's what I want to see, though. I want to see the fake runs against good teams where it's a respectable number at the end. I'm okay losing by seven.
That's fair.
it
makes it look better, certainly, for sure. On the kind of the growth curve stuff, Donovan comes back. Rob Williams comes back. Like, you're getting the opportunities for those guys. Denny Avdia has been really good now for the last probably 3 weeks. You're seeing the version of him that the Blazers envisioned when they traded for him.
Yeah.
Jeremy Grant is finding his game. Anthony Simons is finding his game. Even though Shaden Sharp,
I heard it.
Yep. Even though Shaden Sharp's 3-point shooting has struggled, the aggressiveness has started to show a little bit at times, which is that's the drum I've been beating all season of like, look, man, everybody gets frustrated and Ant takes too many shots. Jeremy takes too many shots. Like, there are shots there for Shaden Sharp to take. He needs to take them. He needs to be more aggressive. Yeah. And you're starting to see a little bit of that, like a little bit of an inkling of that. So that's kind of something to monitor.
One thing that we probably need to start talking about here. You and I had some interesting conversations with guys from other markets.
Oh, yes.
And then after the shot that he made on Saturday, Is Dylan Harper maybe the best player in college basketball?
I think we
should have that on Tuesday. We got a lot of football today. But dude's averaging 24 a game.
Yeah, he's really good. That's why I've got him number two on my board. Yeah. And maybe another one we could talk about. There's been some news, rumory mill stuff around Zion Williamson and whether or not maybe the Blazers should kick around the idea of swapping Zion for DA.
Makes my brain hurt.
Yeah, the NBA is going to get
awesome.
Real weird.
So great.
Speaking of getting real weird, it's time for our worst day on the web. And it's a tale as old as time. In a relationship, is your food? But first, here's the big Kuno with Sports and Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
Today's worst day on the web comes from the world of Reddit. The MI, the bleep hole.
Oh, all right. I love these. These are great.
They are great. And as a tale as old as time, we are all married men. I'm sure we have in one way or another experienced some side of this debate and or discussion at some point in our lives. And we all have either been on the wrong side or the wronged side of this.
Oh.
And the gist of it is a gentleman and his wife. The husband is the buyer of groceries and his wife likes to eat a lot of fruit. So he keeps it very stocked very often with apples, peaches, figs, plums, whatever's in season. And right now it's persimmon season.
Okay.
Which I can't say that I've never had a persimmon.
This is very interesting because I have not, but, Mike Jorgensen, color analyst for the Oregon Ducks.
Persimmon guy?
No, he stumbled upon like one of the routes that he goes on his walk on. They have persimmons, and one of the people gave him a persimmon, And I have not gotten the feedback on how good the persimmon was or was not.
I could not tell you what a persimmon looks like.
I learned about these just the other day.
It looks like a cross between a orange tomato.
Yeah.
And a like a cucumber kind
okay.
of like there's a lot of things going on here.
So this is the this is what it is described as, and it is kind of like a tomato look, but also like a little bit more of a fruit consistency, like a traditional fruit consistency. Don't text in. Tomato is a fruit. I know. But like a normal fruit consistency, right? Like a
not mush.
Almost like a it's like a almost more orangey.
Citrusy.
Yeah. Some say the taste is a cross between a mango and a roasted sweet pepper with hints of cinnamon and dates.
Like there's a lot going
Others
on
there. Others say it's a combination of cantaloupe and apricots, but without the tang. So
okay, that one makes more sense.
But yeah, no, like I said, there's a lot going on here.
They have a honey-like flavor and a silky texture to them.
Yeah, that didn't help either.
I'm thinking more of like a plum texture.
Okay.
With the mango roasted sweet pepper kind of taste.
Does the persimmon taste at all like the country club?
Yeah, no. I don't know.
Depends where you start. Okay, now with persimmons out of the mind, out of the picture here, because I don't think it's net. It doesn't really apply here. It does to an extent, but the long and short of it is, the wife basically blew through two batches of them. The okay. husband put his aside in like another bowl because he likes his to ripen, and they are not something that go bad quick. They take a little while, to get a little more fruity or nutty or whatever the taste palate is, and so. After he's already gotten her two batches that she has eaten through, he was eating one, and he asked her if she would like a bite. And she said, no, I'll just go get my own. To which he said, no, those are mine.
Oh.
I have aged them to the way that I like them. You have already eaten two batches.
Let's say how long these people have been married for.
For a while.
I was going to go with not long, but
yeah.
Or for not much longer.
Yikes.
But she got upset, and this has been my thing our whole marriage, that I designate food as mine, and that all food should be anyone's to eat if that person wants it at that moment. He said, personally, what? I disagree with this. I live my life leaving her what is hers, whether it's half of the leftovers, a half piece of cake, or whatever. I don't just eat things I consider her.
Wait, but that sounded like two different statements. Did I not just hear that she says that what's hers is hers and then what's his is also mine?
Yeah, but I mean...
That's marriage.
Yes, that's exactly what he is saying, is okay. He does not like this.
Just checking.
He goes, I do my best to make sure that she has what she likes around. If I do accidentally eat the entirety of something she wanted, I hear it, believe me. Am I the bleep hole for keeping some fruit to myself? To which I say no. Stand your ground, sweet prince.
Oh, this is a tough. But
talking fruit.
Hold on.
No. It's not even. It's look. If there's something in particular that you like, a certain way. Like,
but I think his bigger issue here is the what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine.
Yes.
Like that. And that's the crux of the issue here. And that should not be. If this needs to be a two-way street, mm-hmm. if it's the whole we share it all.
But also, he doesn't like, and he calls that out. He doesn't like the stuff that she likes.
So then, what's the problem here?
Because
she likes the stuff that he likes.
Yeah, that, like she likes all of it. Oh. He only likes his stuff, and so he's getting irritated because I'll give you my.
So she's coming and eating his stuff. He's not eating her stuff.
Correct.
She's eating his stuff.
Correct.
All right, I'm going to go get that one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I wish I would have left that one cleaner for you.
Yeah, it's okay. I think it'll be all right.
No, I think so, too. We'll also, that also sounds like most relationships.
Yeah.
But the my personal one is I like hummus.
Okay.
That's like my snack.
I believe it's called hummus.
Or I will get a very spicy chips and salsa brand. And it's not that my wife will eat the hummus or the salsa. It's that she will either take my pita bread or my tortilla chips. And she will finish them. And I'm like, I have nothing to eat my my little snack that I like. Like, could you not do that?
Boy, that seems like that's just a lack of the communication here.
Oh, no. It's been communicated to the point where I started moving a bag of chips to a place that she would not look for that.
Well, what I didn't want to say was lack of communication would be the first step into, this seems like a lack of respect here.
No.
And it's not a, this isn't a food sharing issue here. Yeah. That's not what this is.
No, she's like, well, I was hungry. I wanted that snack. And I'm like, no. No, that's mine now.
Well, knowing how petty you are, how often do you just revenge eat something that is hers?
Regularly.
Okay. So now you guys have set this as, even though you want it the other way, you can't go back, because your retort would be, I don't do this to you. Mm. And she would be like, yeah you do. Mm. Because you are a multiple petty Olympic gold medalist. Mm. I mean, this has been something we talk about often.
And look, I'll be the opposite of this guy, where he won't eat the things that he doesn't like.
Yeah.
I may not even like it.
This is, in all honesty here, I mean, this is one of the perks of my wife becoming a vegan, is that I don't have these issues at all anymore. It is like a, all right, well, kind of a free-for-all for you, you know? And all the things that I like, you just don't even eat anymore. She does eat chicken now, though.
Oh! So,
yeah, she, well, that, she's been doing that for a while.
Is that pescatarian? Or is that fish?
No, that's just fish.
Okay.
My wife does not do labels, apparently, because this is, she is a vegan that, I don't know that eats chicken, and that's really it.
I will define my diet on the day that I feel it.
Yeah. We need, like it.
Which
it,
is fine. Hey.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah. No, it's just,
and especially
that,
don't argue with a Russian about that.
No, she, I don't know. It's not even like dietary restrictions either. It's just like, if she eats red meat, if she eats dairy, like, she doesn't
feel good.
Like feel good, right? So it's like, there's no like allergies or like true restrictions. It's like, nah, I just feel better eating this way, and chicken doesn't bother. So she eats chicken, which is great. So I have my grilling is back on, baby.
Anytime you pull out the oxtails, you know you're safe.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, because yeah,
well, you never had oxtail.
No, nor have I. And
No,
I understand. I understand what you're trying to say, but you have to realize that oxtail is something that I'm going to guess about 5% of the population in this country is eating.
It's way more than that. Buddy, you get down to the South, that changes drastically. I was just going to say, I'm not going to shame you. I'm just going to bring some in.
Because, like, I watch, like, Chopped and stuff.
We're going to do some oxtail.
Or little guys.
It's not like I'm asking you to go full like Xavier Leggett and ask you to eat raccoon. We're gonna bring some oxtail.
What I think the issue here is that you went so far off the grid. You could have said steak, and you said oxtail.
I was going for exotic meat. I was gonna go maybe some elk backstraps.
You can go with like even a short rib.
No, I mean, it's like you could have just left it at beef or pork, and that would have been fine. But you went oxtail, and I think that just caught us all off guard there, you know?
Fair.
And totally on brand. Right on brand.
You know.
It's right on brand. Yeah. Yeah.
But where are we falling on this in general?
Let's see.
Are you allowed to have your own food? Because I am a yes.
Yes, as long as it's a two-way street.
Yes.
As long as it is a two-way street, that's normal. It's fine. Totally fine. But when you go down the... No, I get all of it and you don't get all of it. That's where you're like, no, that ain't the game we're playing here.
Danny's going to have a rude awakening when he has kids.
No, like my wife is theirs. Yeah. My wife keeps candy in the house. Like she likes a sweet treat every now and then. I don't really eat candy. It's not my jam.
I like candy.
Right? So I use that as my chaos grenade that I throw in there. I'm like, look, I'm not eating your candy. I'm not eating your sweets. Like, leave my savory stuff alone.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I will leave my wife's Swedish fish alone, because those are like chewing on candle wax, almost like Twizzlers.
Wow. Perfectly segued. Swedish fish. One of my favorite candies.
I agree. Swedish fish are delicious. I mean, they really are.
I love the fishes because they are so delicious.
That's goldfish.
I know.
But also delicious.
Have you ever noticed
that I like every both fish, of those fish over most other fishes?
I was just saying, the fish-related treats or fish-adjacent treats are better than fish.
I don't know. Like, salmon's pretty dope. This,
I feel like this needs to take really a good deep dive here to figure out how we're trying to differentiate things in terms of the fish versus fish treats and whatnot. Because smoked salmon is delightful.
It is good.
Smoked salmon
smoked
is
tuna.
But so is Swedish fish. Mm-hmm. And Pepperidge Farm goldfish.
There's an old Guy Fieri fish recipe that we found.
You really dressed up the mayor of Flavortown's last name.
That's how he says it, so that's how I say it. I'm not going to tell him how to pronounce his own name.
Ooh.
It's a white fish, like halibut, I believe. It's a tater nugget crusted, like halibut.
Dang.
So you take, like, the tater tots, you let them thaw out, and you mix in some soy sauce and hoisin with it. You mix it in with that, you crust it, and you put it on one side, and you fry on one side and fry on the other. Oh, it's delightful.
It does sound pretty good.
It's super good.
This is the Petty Olympics gold medal right here, which I wouldn't do to my wife because it could be crippling. But my buddy's roommate gets drunk and eats all his salsa. He went to Pepper Palace and got some nuclear salsa. Problem solved.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah,
yikes. That's a problem with having roommates, man. Like, roommate wars were real. That's why.
The true violation is workplace violence.
Workplace food. There is
taking somebody else's food. That is a diabolical.
That is just, it should be grounds for firing.
Yes. Or good beating.
Should be grounds for firing.
Wall-to-wall counseling.
No, I feel like, it's like you take that person out, just like an office space out into the field, like that printer, where they just beat the S out of it. And damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
I mean, we do have a room here with no cameras.
Yeah.
You take my lunch, that's what you get.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. All right, it feels good to be a gangster.
Look, I'm not...
Did you see Joey and Sook disappear into a room?
I'm not stealing anybody's food, so I'll approve of it. God, all right.
See, exactly. That's the whole thing. It's like, that's what keeps you from stealing somebody else's food.
That's what separates us from savages.
Like chopping someone's hand off if they steal from you.
Yeah, you do it in public square. Have one of the sales guys come out with just a black eye.
What happened to you? Potato chips.
Yeah. Well, think about that again, Cooley.
It could get worse, though. It's going to get worse, though, when the guy's taking his lumps and he's like, it was worth it! It was a brownie, was worth it, man! And then you just get that rage beating's going to turn into murder.
Somebody had, like, a Lou Malnati's flown in from Chicago, because you can do that now, bring in the leftovers and be like, it was worth it. Yeah. That deep dish pizza was worth it.
I still wonder, how does that kind of thing, like, is it dry ice?
Dry ice.
Is that how they ship it?
Yep.
That's just, because it still seems like a long time.
They put it on express. It's the same day delivery with dry ice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did it for a friend of mine. I've never had it done, but like I did it for him when he moved back. So yeah, it's a fun little thing.
Because like I know that like even with the old Alpenrose delivery, when it gets to summertime and it's hot, they'll ask you to be like, hey, do you want us to drop off some dry ice with it to keep it cool for you?
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
That is nice.
That's handy.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, the world of college football is getting interesting, and does basically every NFL player think they can go back and coach? Turns out, might be true. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
He's not eating her stuff.
Correct.
She's eating his stuff.
Some more interesting news in the college football head coach hiring cycle as it pushes through into the depths of winter. Bill Belichick wasn't really a surprising hire in my mind. It was one of those ones that felt like it was being flagged for a while.
Mm-hmm.
This one jumped out and went, I'm sorry, what? Michael Vick. Yes, that Michael Vick was a candidate or is a candidate to be the head coach at Norfolk State 3 hours ago. An hour ago, he is now a head coach to be or now a potential head coach at Sacramento State.
What?
So he went from Norfolk State to Sacramento State in the matter of 2 hours. This is a man who has never coached football in his life. He played it at a very high level, was very successful in college, pretty damn successful in the NFL, bottomed out is about as bad as you can bottom out, and came back and had a mild redemption arc. But Sacramento State is the really interesting one here because they are going from the FCS to the FBS, and they have a $50 million cash infusion, and they are looking to make a splash. Dusty, what the hell is going on?
I have no idea. That Vic is an interesting one. The guy who was widely criticized early in his NFL career for not knowing how to watch film or watching it at all, not regarded as a student of the game, as a player. We saw that as his career went on, he's been very open about it. Like, yeah, that was a whiff. I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he started so far behind the eight ball, but the experience that he had in the NFL is, I mean, that's invaluable. I mean, that's like basically what Michael Vick did was he got into medical school with not even taking a biology class. I don't know how you do that. And yet Michael Vick was such a freakish athlete.
Was this at UNC?
Huh?
Was this at UNC?
Virginia Tech.
I know.
They're UNC fake majors. Yeah. I see what you did there.
There we go.
His past, though, wow. That's probably the more surprising part about this, is that Michael Vick went to prison. Now, going to prison is not like it should not be something that takes you out of having a life and having success after you get done. And there's one thing that Michael Vick has done. He's tried to do a lot to reshape and reform his image and show remorse for what he did. But the surprising part is that multiple universities are in on this saying, no, that will not be an issue with our administration, our alumni and our boosters. We're willing to take that leap on Michael Vick, because like Deion Sanders, him getting into coaching, everybody was like, well, I mean, he was a high school coach. He always said he wanted to, was regarded as very high football IQ guy as a player.
It wasn't just like, yeah, I'm the most insane athlete on the face of the planet.
A lot more. And, no issues off the field like that with Deion. Like, he never went to prison for dogfighting.
No, showboating and acting a fool, sure. But, yeah, like, it's very LeBron-esque. Like
the
missteps of, like, polarization, sure.
The great player turning into a coach is not the surprising part. No. The surprising part with Vic, and really it coming out of left field, too. Like, that, and that's the thing with Deion, is, like, he got the Jackson State job, and he was, like, saying, no, I want to be, you know, power five coach back at that time, power five. You know, I want to be power five coach. Everybody's like, dude, you haven't done this before. Like, go coach somewhere else. And then he went to Jackson State, had great success there. He parlays that into the Colorado job, and he's done a really good job there. I mean, there's no way that you can say Deion has not done a good job at Colorado. Has a damn Heisman Trophy winner, which is an individual stat, not a team stat, but also a 9-3 team. They were awful.
And likely the number one pick.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're saying, and they went from maybe one of the worst 130 teams in college football to a respectable program, I'd argue, despite all of his stepping in it last year, he's exceeded expectations.
But I think with Deion Sanders, that was a charismatic person who, you know, when Deion speaks, man, he speaks like a preacher. Like, he is so good in front of people. And
that's not Vic.
You may not like his leadership style, but Deion is a leader, and people will follow Deion Sanders. And Michael Vick, like, that's the thing, is that he's not nearly as dynamic as Deion Sanders is as a person and a speaker and a motivator. That's why this is all surprising to see Vick come out and just out of nowhere become a head NFL head coach. I don't know. It's a little bit surprising, though. Two different schools. I mean, they're not powerhouses by any means, but Sacramento State has been really damn good in the Big Sky over the last handful of years. I mean, Troy Taylor did a really good job there before he took that Stanford job. And they're trying to make a big step up, and they're trying to make a big splash. And this is one way that you can do it, apparently. And, you know, I'm surprised.
In the coming out of nowhere, I read the Norfolk State one. I was like, all right, Norfolk State.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
close to home.
That regionally makes sense.
Yeah. It was like, all right, it's close to home. It's not a big time program. Sac State, a school looking to go from FCS to FBS, building a new 25,000 seat stadium, getting a $50 million, you know, injection of cash into the NIL fund. Like, That seemed like, look, that's a splashy hire, certainly, but like, is that necessarily the one that you want to make?
The Hornets and the Spartans. Those are the mascots, by the way.
All right.
No, you're not. Boy, that is a, that one really is surprising. Usually you get like a feel or you have a vibe. Like you said, when it came to Belichick, it was like, yeah, he just wants to coach. Yeah. Dude just wants to coach and die. That is all Bill Belichick wants to do. This one I did not see coming. And I don't know what he's done.
In the meantime?
He's done some work. He's done some like NFL Network stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did not see him coaching.
It's a weird one. Speaking of weird ones, there was a very, very, very weird NFL game between the Bengals and Titans that we will talk about. And by weird, I mean it's the ugliest thing you may have ever seen. But also, we've got Jalen Hurts and the Eagles getting a little sassy. We'll get to that here in hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.